KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Julie.
Thanks for joining us this morning. We're excited to have another very special guest with us today. And as always, Mary has the introductions.
Well, we are very excited to have our guest who is new to Fresno State. Well, you've been here about 100 days, right, Dean?
Yeah, a little over. July 20th was when I parachuted in. It's been a great experience. Wonderful to be here.
I like that way of arriving, but we're very fortunate to have our new Dean of the College of Science and Mathematics, Dr. Christopher Meyer. Thank you for joining us.
It's an honor. Yeah.
It's so nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, I like that parachuting in because that must have set the tone. You've had a fantastic first 100 days here. I mean, you really started everything off with a bang.
it's very exciting times, and it's a great time to be involved in science and math, discovery and innovation that are part of what we do, and really great to work with the talented faculty, staff, and students here. And, you know, we have a lot of exciting programs, and we really embed kind of learning by doing to give our students the real-world experiences to go out there and succeed.
Yeah, so they're not intimidated when they have that hands-on because they already start off here with it.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's
a big believer in these high-impact practices. Get them started in research early, and that discovery is part of their learning process.
Well, it all started in Sacramento, so not too far up the 99, huh?
That's right. I was born in Sacramento, California. I won't reveal the year, but so it's just great to be back in this part of the state. You know, I spent a lot of many years in Southern California.
And most recently, you were in Arlington, Virginia at the National Science Foundation.
Yes. Yeah.
So you got away from the snow.
Right. I did. And the humidity, I guess, because when I left Arlington, I mean, effectively D.C., I guess, July 15th, and then made my way to Fresno on July 20th. And it's like, well, it's a dry heat here, you know, so.
Yeah, it's supposed to be better, right? It doesn't feel better when we're in it and it's 112.
Right. But I was, you know, my early childhood in Sacramento in Northern California. You know, it's a great place to be.
When you were in school in Sacramento, is that where you discovered that you had a desire to work with science? Or when did you first know that that was your thing?
Well, that's a great question. I think early on I was, well, interestingly, my parents were English majors, so I've always had a love of literature and the arts, but they encouraged me to, you know, explore my interests. And so I became fascinated with life science and how living systems work. So I was early on very interested in biochemistry and was a 4-H member growing up.
Oh, very good.
And so there's some of that agricultural community tie-in that I really like about the Fresno area. And so that goes hand in hand with understanding living systems. And so what's exciting, what I really think, is that when you look at national grand challenges, which I was involved in the Biological Science Directorate at the National Science Foundation, we're always talking a lot about food, energy, water systems, sustainability, health. And, you know, all these things are really mirrored locally here in the Central Valley.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing. So that local to national to global importance is something that is very exciting, that to be engaged in innovation discovery with that and students working with faculty on, you know, real world problems.
And especially finding new ways to manage the resources that we have, to really be able to stretch them and to utilize them, kind of look at it in a fresh way. I think that that's a great benefit that students bring to the equation because they are just coming into it and maybe they have that new perspective on how we can solve these issues that we're facing in agriculture and in the environment here in the Central Valley.
Yeah. And another really exciting thing, I know when I interviewed here, it was wonderful to see something like the Jordan Agricultural Research Center.
Yes.
And so what a special place. It's a flexible lab space where you can have interdisciplinary, transdisciplinary interactions between different colleges and give students interdisciplinary training, team science approaches, things that they'll really need for their 21st century careers.
And that facility, what a great gift that it was from the Jordan family to our campus. But for students to be able to go in there and to work in those labs and have state-of-the-art equipment. And that's another new thing that's happened since you arrived is that you've been able to be a part of renovating some of your labs. Tell us about what they look like before and after. President Castro and I just recently did a tour of it, and the before looked like a movie set.
Yeah, a movie set from the 1950s.
Yes.
No, it's amazing. You feel like you're walking into a different century between those rooms.
Two time zones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But tell us about what was there before versus what's there now and how you feel what we have now will better serve our students.
Oh, it's tremendous, the enhancement to what you can do in an active learning mode and mm-hmm. give students opportunities to, you know, really collect high quality data and actually participate in research as part of the course. Really integrating teaching and research can happen in those new spaces. They're set up more collaborative. They're not all one way, you know, all in a row benches, but you've got these in the biology lab particularly,
yes.
you've got those circular tables. And so it's a very collaborative environment. People can share data, lots of nice technology for data sharing and capture in there. It all goes to enhancing those spaces, common lab areas where mm-hmm. for a dual purpose of teaching and research.
So, I really like the flexibility in the new labs to where you could reconfigure the learning stations. That's mm-hmm. what I thought yeah. is like a learning station. And then each learning station had direct access where the students, Julie, I don't think you've been able to go in there, but where the students can plug their iPad or whatever their mm-hmm. Computer right to it. And then they can present from where they're sitting up on the board.
Right. And share it with the class.
And share it with the whole class. Mm-hmm. And I thought,
fantastic.
You know, really for them, they're part of teaching each other.
Right.
When
absolutely.
They do that.
And that's, again, that's part of the learning by doing and collaborative approaches and team science that we mm-hmm. really want to promote. And that's what the employers want. When we talk to our advisory board, very excited about the really dynamic group of people there. I think we're on the right track to really give the best preparation for our students to go and succeed. And again, when you talk about the national issues on water, energy, food, you know, it's
yes.
all, it's really in our wheelhouse to prepare students to tackle those problems.
Is that type of setting, is that recent, or had you seen that at another institution and you knew that it was successful, the collaborative like learning center setup, instead of just sitting and listening to a lecture? Had you seen that somewhere else?
I've seen that in a few. When I was at the National Science Foundation, we did some site visits to campuses. And mm-hmm. so Fresno State really has that good space to be one of the leaders in that area, because
great.
You do see more of that happening with more innovative use of space. But these new labs would fit into elite universities, really. And of course, with Fresno State's number 17 ranking in Washington Monthly, I mean, that's
yes.
part of it. We're really excited, too, about, you know, we had an anonymous donor who very generously gave a gift to support a program mm-hmm. that will allow for really the course-based undergraduate research experiences, or abbreviate that as CURES. And so we like to joke we have a cure for everything in the
like
College
that.
Of Science and Mathematics.
Well, who doesn't want to be a part of that
then, right? Be part of the solution. But anyway, this particular gift was to support research in genetics, molecular biology, biotechnology, to incorporate real research into these labs. And we're interested in not just the upper division labs, but also mm-hmm. at the freshman and sophomore level. And it really be democratizing, because a lot of underserved students are not aware of the opportunities to, you know, they wouldn't know how to join a research lab as a freshman.
Right.
Perhaps they work part-time. They wouldn't have hours to dedicate in addition mm-hmm. to the classes. But if you embed that in the class, you're really giving access.
It makes it more natural.
Yeah, yeah.
A smoother transition for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So when you receive a gift like that, who determines where it's going to go? Do you suggest, or do you let a need be known? And then if somebody is inspired to give, they can do it? Or do they direct it specifically to that? How do you pair up a potential donor's interest with a program that you feel could really benefit from that?
Well, I think I work closely with our director of development for the mm-hmm. college, Javier Morales, who's fantastic, and the whole advancement team. And we do a lot of deliberate listening when we meet with alumni, friends of the university, other stakeholders. Mm-hmm. Really, what is their passion? What are they interested in? And we talk about what kinds of needs we have and how that fits into our priority and mission.
Mm-hmm.
So the particular anonymous donor situation, it sounded like they might be interested in a number of things. Genetics came up, also maybe scholarship. Or things like that. But when we suggested support of a program,
mm-hmm.
which really to be able to have infrastructure can benefit lots of students.
That's
and have
solid
a big
foundation.
Scale and impact that you can have to be able to fund high quality research going on in those courses,
mm-hmm.
which can lead to students presenting at national meetings, publications. You know, it gives them a lot of scientific and social capital for their next steps.
Right. We're so grateful. That's just a wonderful gift. And
mm-hmm.
so many students will benefit from it. Okay, we're going to go back in time a little bit to where when you were receiving your bachelor's degree, you received it in chemistry from CSU Chico. Why did you choose Chico when you were going from Sacramento? I know it's close as could be, but why was that your choice and how did you end up there?
My parents went to Sacramento State. Okay, So I've been a big fan of the Cal State system and public education.
Good.
I even took some classes at a community college, Sierra College in Rockland, California. So I like to say I've been at every public institution type in the state because we have this great three-tier system,
yes,
right?
Yes, you spread it around.
Yeah. And I think that it's great to have ties and network with community colleges and the UC campuses. And we all have a great role to play in the pathway for students to succeed or that arc of development of students. So, Chico State particularly appealed to me for a number of the same reasons I really love Fresno State. It's a great fit for me in terms of a community and the environment we're in and the possibilities, the importance of the land and place. You don't see that at every kind of institution.
Yes, and they also have a large agricultural area there, too.
Yeah.
During your time there, were there any particular mentors that you felt like you had a close bond with or that you keep in touch with now that let you know that you were on the right track with what you wanted to continue doing?
The role of mentors is so important. I started off as a chemistry major, but gradually spending as much time in biology as chemistry. I guess they didn't have a biochemistry degree at that time, so I sort of forged my own in a way via elective. So I really like that interface between chemistry and biology and the molecular basis of living systems and understanding how that works with so many applications, right, in agriculture, energy, medicine, and things like that. So, Larry Kirk and Mina Hector were two of my biochemistry professors. I'm still in touch with them. And in fact, I got a recent email from Larry Kirk, who's emeritus now, but he's still very active and helps with research.
I love to hear that.
So he was really excited when I got the position at Fresno State and caught up on a lot of things. Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, being on the receiving end of that, you know how important it is to pass it along. How do you find time to engage as a mentor for students?
Oh, I really think it's important to keep in touch with students. And again, I was a faculty member for many years at Cal State Fullerton and ran a large research lab. So I do miss some of those one-on-one interactions with having research. But for my time at NSF, you can have an impact on a different level as a dean. We're forming a group of ambassadors for the college, some of whom have spoken at these various events and shared their experiences and what research has meant to them and how that's led to their growth and development and career choices.
What type of advice would you offer to someone who would want to kind of follow the same path that you've taken? I mean, to end up at the National Science Foundation, that's the big leagues. That's major. You were in the World Series.
Yeah, that was very exciting. Exciting to be there. And apparently there's still an office with my name on it there. One of my friends said, hey, they met because they're in Alexandria now. So I guess because I was on their roster, I go, oh, you have a place to come visit. So it's good, gone but not forgotten. But that was a wonderful place to work and to be able to serve at that level and participate in national conversations about science and education was a privilege and created a really great network of people. One of my goals is to bring them to Fresno State, show them what we're doing. And Fresno State can be part of that national conversation about that integration of teaching and research and interdisciplinary training and science and technology.
That's great. For little kids, what are things that you think that parents could do to really expose their children to science in a fun way?
Well, I think I'm a big fan of hands-on experiences. Mm-hmm. In fact, very proud of the Downing Planetarium and Museum.
It's fantastic.
And again, the Downings are great supporters of the university. Mm-hmm. And that really is, I like to think of it as the three E's sort of. You want during the arc of people's development and to consider a career in science. And, there's a big shortage of STEM majors. There's also diversity issues in science that we're working on. Mm-hmm. So, how do we fill those million jobs and that's so important for society to tackle these big problems. So I think early exposure is good. Things like the planetarium and that's sort of more physical sciences, right? And we do have active outreach programs in all of our departments. In fact, I created a new standing committee for community outreach to kind of coordinate some of our efforts.
Yeah.
So I think that K-12, those are our future students here. Mm-hmm. And to get them engaged and excited about science is really important. So science fairs, want people to feel in the community that this is their university. They should come here and engage with us. Let's show them what we do.
You've also done a lot of work on grants. Mm-hmm. And how important do you feel grants are to an institution, not only for the funding part of it, but raising recognition for the program And are there ways that you think that we can improve upon doing that here at Fresno State?
Yeah, I think they're absolutely essential for the work that we do, to engage students in high quality work that could be published and contribute to the field in a meaningful way and contribute to discovery and innovation is really important. And that's what having that research enables you to do. So I've been impressed with really the energy and true grit that the faculty bring. I've been, they keep me busy looking at proposals that are going out the door or, hey, we need a letter of support for this.
Yes.
And I'm happy to do it and happy to give some feedback about it.
They're being bold.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's the, you know, the bulldog way here, you know, go bulldog. So, I really like the energy level and all hands on deck approach.
Yes.
So I think there's individual research programs, very strong. We've got faculty members funded by the National Science Foundation, National Institutes of Health, USDA, Department of Energy, and so on, Department of Education. And we also have some larger institutional kind of grants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an arena that we could do more in, I think. Larger collaborative grants with our neighbors. I know we're working on some NSF proposals with UC Merced.
Very nice.
UC Davis. I think that's really important to work as a team.
Good. I like that.
Yeah. And I think the Central Valley would be a wonderful place for an agencies to invest in, you know, mid-scale sort of centers that could help all the students here.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So I think participate in more research coordination networks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have some exciting speakers we're bringing to campus this year.
Who's coming over?
Erin Dolan from the University of Georgia. She's an expert, world-renowned figure in cures of the course-based undergraduate research experiences, which part of what we're doing here.
So building upon that gift.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know that when we have lecturers come, that is one of the best ways to connect because then you get different perspectives from people who have all this experience, but they've done it in a different environment. And then we gain so much by being willing to go other places and to tell what we've had here, but also being open and inviting the right people to come and giving our students that chance to learn, to open their minds up to all the different types of possibilities within their field. You know, the way things were done is not necessarily the way they need to be done now. And to empower them with that fearlessness that they can go ahead and be willing to try new things. And I think that, you know, especially in the sciences, when you have that blend of technology, talent, and then the desire to find a solution, I think it's a very exciting area to be working in.
It's wonderful. It's very exciting. And to instill some confidence in the students that they can do, that's what the hands-on experiential focus will do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not memorizing facts, but learning concepts and applying them. And what better way to do it than to use live research in order to get that. And it's wonderful to see them identify as a scientist and go and tackle those problems.
And start to see the type of impact that their research could have on the community or on the world. Wow, that's really, I love that. And we were talking earlier about your children, and you've covered both sides with being the Dean of Science and Mathematics. You have your son, Nick, who's at Caltech in physics.
Yep, very proud of him. Yeah, he's a senior this year. Yeah, yeah. He got to work on the LIGO or gravitational wave project that, you know, got the recent Nobel Prize.
So
very exciting. We have a very strong
being in the right place at the right time.
Right, absolutely. We got to say, we give a special plug. Our physics department is phenomenal here, too.
Uh-huh.
And they're involved with exciting international collaborations as well.
And so he's a senior right now. Is he planning on going on to graduate
school? Yes, he is. Yeah. Well, he's sort of physics and computer science, which I think is a good combination.
Very good.
Check the box in another great department that's growing and meeting lots of needs in the college.
So you do get to see him pretty often, though, being local then.
Yeah. I like to say I'm centrally located, right? Because my daughter's at Berkeley, my son's at Caltech. So, you know, it keeps me grounded. You know?
You mentioned your daughter, Christina. She's a sophomore in bioscience. So you've got that side covered.
Yeah. She has a lot of interest in environmental issues and sustainability, which I think is fantastic.
Very good. Well, we all know that that's something that affects every single one of us. Living, breathing things, we have to make sure we have a safe environment to do it in. Is there anything that you would like to talk about as far as on your wish list, a program or something that you would like to try to work towards a goal here?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of great things going on. So part of it is what I like to say is that with my experience in the Cal State system, I can be a champion for our best practices that we're doing. And
Very
so
good.
For many years, we have a great reputation of training students in learning by doing. Mm-hmm. And they go out and have done great things in the Valley and beyond as professionals. I think that one opportunity that would be great to explore is to bring more postdoctoral scholars to Fresno State to work with our faculty and students.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of postdocs and senior grad students that might not be aware of the kind of careers they could have at a comprehensive university where you can do this innovative blend of teaching and research and really make a difference to a community and a group of students to excel.
That sounds great.
And so part of a postdoc's experience might be at a large research intensive lab, but I think there'd be plenty of space here to have a postdoc visiting scientist or resident scientist perhaps explore different models of working on projects in a couple of different labs. I think the Agricultural Research Center might be a great place for some of those things to happen. And again, our faculty have collaborative ties with lots of other universities.
Mm-hmm.
We could sort of coordinate some efforts to establish a program like that, and it'd be a win-win for both the faculty and students. One could imagine a postdoctoral scholar getting more teaching experience, project management experience that they might not get in a traditional postdoc.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be a great thing to be known as a destination for people seeking careers, not maybe exclusively at comprehensive universities, maybe industry too, but it'd be a great transition because there's a lot of great resources, you know, on campus and other colleges for collaboration as well.
And how long would they be here for that?
Oh, well, perhaps 2 to 3 years.
That's a good time span.
Yeah, so they could really
immerse
have an impact.
I like that. That seems like that would be something exciting. Let us know when you get that going.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Yeah.
So with everything that you're doing with finding your way in this role and reaching out and re-engaging alums, and I'm sure that you're getting invited to a lot of different dinners and things, what do you do when you just get to hang out?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good, yeah, that's, it's all action all the time here, which is exciting. This is a great place to be. I'm very happy here. A very welcoming environment, I must say.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's very, you know, in the central and northern California fashion, right? Yeah, I've not had a lot of downtime lately, but I do enjoy reading. I really enjoy the humanities and arts, movies, exercise. I'm a martial artist, although I'm not in shape now, but I'm an answer
what
to a trip.
What discipline do you do?
It's Kempo Karate, and my one trivial pursuit answer for me that Elvis Presley and I had the same karate instructor. That's the late, great Ed Parker.
Oh, my God. Goodness, I'd be starting off with that. My mother-in-law is a huge Elvis fan.
I mean,
that's it. I mean, all this other stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
What's with that? Yeah. But it's important to get balance. It is important to have balance in your life.
Yes.
And it's all too easy to, you know, there's a lot of day-to-day, you know, there's many things you have to do. But at the end of the day, you have to get some downtime because that makes you better as a person and meet the tasks at hand.
Stress and just getting to be able to walk away from it, you know, clear your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go back fresh and, you know, tackle new tasks. But do you practice at home or is there a studio that you're continuing with that? Or
I haven't. I think there are some Kempo Karate studios in the area. I haven't really delved in that. So I've been doing a little
bit on my own.
Yeah. So that's that would be a great thing to do.
I like that. And, you know, we're close to Yosemite. So there's a lot of nice hikes.
Oh, yeah. And that's another appeal to the area. You know, Yosemite and just the land here. Just fantastic.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us today. And I hope that you do get to find some time to go for a hike in Yosemite.
Semester's coming to, you know.
Joe and I were married in the chapel that's in the Little Valley there.
Oh, is that
so
right?
When you see it, that's where we got married. And it is one of our favorite places when we do get a chance to get away. But finding that balance, and you've definitely hit the ground running here. And we're so excited about the things that have happened just during these 6 months. I'm looking forward to hearing a lot more about great programs that you're designing and really getting students excited about science and excited about the impact that they can have on our community. So thank you for choosing Fresno State.
Oh, it's a privilege and honor to be here. I love Fresno State. And we want to keep the ball rolling here and great people to work with. And I'm very excited about the future and what we can all accomplish together. And the support from the administration and the faculty and staff has been really tremendous.
Good deal. Well, we're all here to be bold together.
All right.
Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
It's so good to meet you. Thank you for being with us. Well, thanks again to our very special guest, Fresno State College of Science and Mathematics Dean, Dr. Christopher Meyer. And of course, my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Ladies Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.